If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is a Friday, which means we celebrate. For Donnie Wrightside, that could be the end, finally, of the NBA regular season. Just three days left to go in the regular season. Every team in action on this Friday, day off on Saturday. Every team in action on Sunday, with two more games left for all 30 NBA organizations to end out the regular season ahead of the postseason. It is round number two with golfers on the course at Augusta National Golf Club at the 2025 Masters Tournament. We will let you know what is happening early on cut day, but the ring ended the celebratory Friday for DRS. With the NBA's regular season coming to a close, we welcome on our coach, J.Y. James Young, to put everything into perspective and set the stage for this weekend around the association. J.Y., as always, we appreciate the time.
Good morning. Happy Friday. And, yeah, nothing like play. Everybody play tonight. No one play tomorrow. And everybody play Sunday. It feels like this is like the Premier League. Everybody trying to start around the same time.
It is a beautiful thing. We love action coming down to a close on the final day. And, J.Y., when you look at the Western Conference standings, it is going to feel like the Premier League, or week number 18 of the NFL regular season. All 15 of our Western Conference teams are going to be playing at the same time. It is going to be really, really good action on Sunday afternoon. And as you saw there in the standings, there is still so much left to be determined. The only things we know, the Thunder, by a landslide, have clinched the one seed. The Rockets, as Donnie figured out yesterday with the math, have clinched the two seed. But what exactly are the Lakers in store for? One more win, they clinch the three seed. The Nuggets and the Clippers lurking. And then you see those three teams, 6 through 8, all at 47 and 33. The Warriors on the right side of the play-in tourney, already in the immediate postseason. And then you have the Memphis Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves, who faced off last night. J.Y., when you look at the Western Conference standings, with how jumbled and jam-packed they are, what is your favorite race to follow in the final weekend of this regular season?
I mean, to me, it's all of them, but it's about, to me, what do we do with Denver, right? Because of the firing of Michael Malone. They become the most intriguing team, Ben, because they have the best player in the world. And a player that obviously was frustrated with what went on in Denver. I mean, listen, I don't care what anybody says. He probably knew what was going on. I think he kind of admitted it as such right before it happening. So they become the team to watch, because I think they're the team with that player, with the fact that they have a championship pedigree. Where do they slide? Do they slide at 4 with 5 with the Clippers? Does Golden State jump the Clippers to 6? Does Denver drop to the 6th spot? How does that impact the Lakers? I think it's a bad matchup for the Lakers. Could they drop all the way to 7? So all these things are going to shake out in the next 48 hours. And that's why, like I said to you last week, I can't place a bet on the playoffs until I see matchups. And the one team I need to know more than anyone is, where is Denver going to be matched up with in the first round?
You know, Coach, I need to know about the Houston Rockets here. I don't think I've ever seen a more disrespected number two overall seed in a really good conference in my entire lifetime. 52-28, deserving of the number two seed. And we have the feeling, through the sports books, through just talking to people, doesn't matter who they play in round number one, Coach, they are getting sent home and sent home quickly. Tell me about the Rockets, the disrespect. Udoka is the head coach. What can we anticipate from them in the playoffs? Is it real or is it fool's gold for them?
Well, you know, they got it. They kind of have like a Cleveland feel to it a little bit in regards to everybody's going to discount what happened in the regular season because what happens in the playoffs. And if you look at all these teams that they may go against, whether it's if Denver slides or it's the Clippers or the Warriors or the Grizzlies or the Timberwolves or even someone like, you know, it wouldn't be Sacramento. It wouldn't be Sacramento because that would be with the nine. The eighth spot. They're going to be eight, so they're going to go against Oklahoma City no matter what with Dallas. But to me, it comes down to all those teams, Donnie, have playoff experience. They have playoff rosters. Now, they have Ime Udoka, who's a hell of a coach, and it's going to be disrespected. But you got to admit, the money is going to, if it's them and the Nuggets, everybody's going to run to the Nuggets. If it's the Clippers, the Clippers. The Warriors. They're going to be underdogs in every series they possibly could line up with. And it's not so much a disrespect to Houston, Donnie. It's the respect that the rest of that league is getting, that conference is getting, because of the playoff acumen that those teams all have from their previous years.
I've shared this a few times now, but with the Rockets, also the two seed, entering the All-Star break in the Western Conference at those times in the standings, I bet Houston at 17-1 to win the Western Conference crown. Not thinking they actually would be there at the end of the road, just having some value and maybe a cash-out opportunity if they were to be the two seed or the three seed or host an opening round playoff series. They are going to be the two seed, and yet the number has gotten longer by $9. Not exactly my sharpest bet ever. So, JY, let's figure out who Houston is actually going to play in that 2-7 matchup. Let's figure out the play-in tourney teams. We've got three teams right now in Golden State, Memphis, and Minnesota, all at 47 and 33. The Timberwolves are in the eighth spot right now, JY, and yet the T-Wolves have the worst price of being a play-in tourney team. If you have the worst and longest price of being a play-in tourney team, that means the odds makers are expecting you to just be a playoff team as one of the top six seeds at this moment. Plus 550 for Minnesota. One of the reasons why the T-Wolves end out the regular season with two games against the Nets in the Jazz, two of the six worst teams in the association. The Grizzlies have the strongest price to be a play-in tourney team at minus 550. The Warriors at minus 105. The Nuggets plus 155. And the Clippers at plus 230. Both Denver and LA a game advantage over that log jam between 6 and 7. But if they stumble in this final weekend, they could find themselves in the play-in tournament. So, JY, come Tuesday night, Western Conference play-in tourney matchup, 7 versus 8. Who are those two teams?
It's going to be the Warriors and the Grizzlies. I think the Timberwolves are going to jump and find their way to 6 because you just said it. Every other team, Ben, has to play against someone else in one of the last two games that have some kind of jockeying for playoff position, whereas obviously you look at Minnesota playing the Jazz and Brooklyn have nothing to play for, so they should be able to find their way through, which then could set up a very interesting matchup should it hold, which is the Lakers versus the Timberwolves. This is a team that, you know, with their, you got to remember, they went to the Western Conference Finals. They knocked out Denver last year. This is a team with Anthony Edwards that obviously is a big-time scorer and a big-time closer. This is a team with playoff experience. Game slows down. Rudy Gobert comes more effective. They have bench play, obviously, with guys like Naz Reid and obviously what DiVincenzo did in the past in the playoffs for the Knicks. But there is one guy, and you know it in the Tri-State area, and his name is Julius Randle. This ain't playoff Murray or bubble Murray. This is, what are we getting out of Julius Randle? Because it doesn't matter what Julius Randle does in the regular season. In the playoffs, it seems like it strikes midnight and he becomes a pumpkin. Can he be a good piece that does it, ready for this? Dominate the ball in possessions? I don't think he can, because that's Ant's team. If he's right, that's an interesting matchup, because I do think with the closing ability and the experience, I think that game with that series with the Lakers, Ben, it will be absolute cinema. It probably will go six or seven games.
That is the expected 3-6 matchup right now, despite Minnesota currently being in the eighth spot in the conference standing. So, JY, you mentioned that until we figure out what is going to happen over these 3 days to end out the regular season, you are not going to place a wager in the Western Conference odds. Let me ask you about that top team, minus 155 for Oklahoma City to win the Western Conference crown. At the very least, will the Thunder have home floor advantage in the Western Conference Finals, meaning will OKC be in the Conference Finals?
Ready for this? If they match up with Denver in the second round, I know this sounds wild, I'm taking Denver. I just think it's going to be an interesting playoff because I think Joker gives Hartenstein and Pichette major issues. Are they engaged? That's the key.
That would be a monumental upset out west. How about the Eastern Conference? Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From the Western Conference out east, our coach J.Y. James Young still here to set the stage for the regular season finale weekend around the association. J.Y., a lot to figure out in the Western Conference, not nearly as much to figure out east. The one seed, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The two seed, by a good margin, are reigning NBA champs in the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about how top-heavy the Eastern Conference odds are in just a moment. The New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers will host an opening round playoff series, just a matter of who is the three seed and who is the four. Right now, the Knicks have a game advantage over the Pacers, but Indiana won last night and New York lost. Let's start with the Knicks and what might have been an opening round playoff preview last night against Detroit. JY, the Knicks now 6-11 against the spread as an underdog this year. They were catching 3.5 points in the Motor City despite having both Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns in the starting lineup, not to mention Mikal Bridges. Are you concerned about the form of basketball the New York Knicks are playing entering the postseason?
Well, you also have to add that OG Anunoby and Josh Hart were not in the lineup last night for New York. I said this yesterday.
Come on now.
Now, listen, I'm going to say this, and people think I'm crazy. I don't think the Knicks want any part of Detroit. And I don't know if I want a part of Detroit either. And I've said this from day one. The Knicks' pathway to the Eastern Conference Finals, that is not through Boston. It's through Cleveland. So to me, I'm not shocked last night that the Knicks, I actually took Detroit minus the points. And I'm a Knicks fan because I don't think they would that Detroit team because the Knicks have problems with small athletic backcourt, especially ones that are athletic and could score like Cade Cunningham. It's a bad matchup for a team with Hart and Brunson that are not great defenders. Let's be honest about it. So to me, I think the Knicks are pathways through what is through Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple other guys rested tonight on a second leg of a back-to-back, not Jalen Brunson, because Jalen Brunson has to play games in order to get to his 65 to make All-NBA. So maybe he plays tonight, doesn't play on Sunday. So to me, I am saying something I've never thought I'd say about Tibbs. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up at 4, Indiana ends up at 3, and that will be a Knicks team that go against Milwaukee in the first round that, if you watch, and we've seen, that they have dominated this far during the regular season.
I do love a sport that has at the end of the season where you're trying to get ready for the playoffs, but a player has to take precedent because he needs to play an extra couple games when it could be a detriment to the team, but it's good for your superstar player to let him go here. It's fantastic stuff. But let me ask you this question, Coach, about the New York Knicks, because we can talk all day. It's the Cavaliers, the Celtics, and everybody else. But the Knicks are intriguing because their starting lineup does have a lot of superstars. They haven't gotten it together in the regular season when they play upper echelon teams. Coach, tell me what changes in the playoffs and why people can back the Knicks with a legitimate chance to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, the only thing I have is they've only played one game with their entire arsenal, and that was the last game versus Boston, which both teams, if you watch, went for it. And if OG Anunoby probably fouls Jason Tatum or funnels him to the rim, then Knicks may get that win. Every other game versus top echelon teams, they have not had the full complement. I think Mitchell Robinson is a bigger part of the team that people want to expect because of his ability to extend possessions with offensive rebounding and his ability to protect the rim. So to me, that is where I look at where New York is dangerous. We haven't seen them whole yet. Now, do I think they're better than Boston? Absolutely not. I think Boston's the best team in the East. I don't care what the records say. Cleveland? Well, we saw this story last year, 4-1, and Mitchell Robinson kicked Evan Mobley and Jared Allen's you-know-what from pillar to post the entire series, dominating him on the offensive glass. So that means tonight's game becomes interesting if New York plays everybody, which I don't think they will because I still think they're trying to, you know, rest some guys down the stretch. So to me, that becomes interesting with the Knicks as a whole unit, which we only saw it against Boston earlier this week.
7.5-point spread in favor of the Knicks at home tonight in the Garden against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are not going to be playing everybody. That is why you see a 7.5-point number. Will it make any difference for New York that we could finally say more than likely they at least beat the Cavs or the Celtics at a point in the regular season? I guess that will be determined. JY, elsewhere around the Eastern Conference, again, we talked about this with you on Tuesday. Right now, we already know the Eastern Conference Finals matchup based on the odds. It will be the Celtics and the Cavaliers. Cleveland will have home court advantage, but still probably not be that favorite to win the Eastern Conference Finals and reach the NBA championship set. Is there any other team around the Eastern Conference, outside of the New York Knicks, that you think could even threaten a spot in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I mean, the only team you can maybe think about is Indiana because they've won 6 in a row and 8 out of their last 10 and playing their best basketball of the season. But the concerning thing about Indiana is and they get stops, right? Now, if you look at last year, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Tyrese Halliburton doesn't make it past Game 2. They get swept by Boston. So now there's the thing of, well, if Halliburton's there, remember, Game 1 was a really tight contest. I do believe it was an overtime win. I do believe by Boston or a close win. So to me, that is where you look at maybe Indiana. Milwaukee, absolutely not. Detroit, a year away. Magic, love the story early in the year. They have just self-destructed down the stretch. And then you look at those teams in a play and it becomes interesting because I think out of all those teams, I think Miami's going to end up eighth because they've done it before. Now, they've done it losing the 7-8 game, then winning the second game. But that's a team that in a one game or two game situation, I needed to win one or two. I trust them more than Chicago to win two in a row. And I trust them more than either Orlando or or Atlanta in that loser of the 7-8 game because I think that team has a propensity to rise to the occasion and be that 8 seed, which that makes them a little bit dangerous versus Cleveland because they did do it to Milwaukee a couple of years before.
Again, entering this final weekend of the NBA regular season, our top two seeds in the Eastern Conference are clinched. That would be the Cleveland Cavaliers at 1, the Boston Celtics at 2. The seeds, the reigning NBA champs who won title number 18 just a season ago, they are the odds-on favorites to win the Eastern Conference at minus 145. The Cavaliers, the second best number at plus 185. JY, Donnie wants a WCC tournament, a Sunbelt Conference tournament type structure to the Eastern Conference postseason where the Cavaliers and the Seas are at the very bottom. It's that gauntlet to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what that?
Love
all
it.
Right, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not distinguishing that. I know where he's going. Love I'm it. Not distinguishing that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The regular season in the NBA comes to a close on Sunday. Two games left for all 30 clubs around the association with 3 days remaining. So as we get to the end of the regular season, it's not just playoff positioning. Who's in the play-in tournament? What do the postseason seeds look like? Who is hosting the opening round of the NBA playoffs? It's also the individual award races. We do that now with our coach, J.Y. James Young. What his NBA voting ballot would look like for all of the awards on the docket in 2024-25. J.Y., let's start at the top. Who wins MVP this season in your mind?
Unfortunately, you have to go with chalk and you have to go with SGA. I mean, look at the stats that he's able to give right now for the Oklahoma City Thunder and the fact that the Oklahoma City Thunder have run away with the with a 14-game lead over Houston, over the two seed. Right now, I have SGA as the MVP. Obviously, look at his stat line and what he's done for this team in this season. His ascension to be one of the top three or four players in the world. And the fact that with number two, Nikola Jokic, winning three of the last four MVPs, there's voter fatigue, right? So if you look at voter fatigue and his stats, and his team is the number one seed in the Western Conference, the number one seed overall for the playoffs, SGA is my vote for the MVP.
Rookie of the year, coach, who's stepping up for the young guys this year on your card?
It's everybody who stepped back, to be honest with you, because it was just no real clear runaway. But to me, it's Stephon Castle. I was a little bit concerned with Castle and his play in regards to, especially the trade for De'Aaron Fox. Obviously, De'Aaron Fox gets injured. This is the kid that I think when comes out of it, Donnie's going to have the best career out of any of these guys. Personally, love the way he's a two-way player. So for me, Stephon Castle is your rookie of the year.
Jared McCain for Philadelphia off to a sensational start, but a part of the season for the 76ers was injured. Dalton Connect was on a heater midway through the year. Zach Edey flirting with it. But the top two guys drafted this past June in the 2024 NBA draft, not really in consideration. Let's see if Donnie remembers who those top two picks were. DRS, do you?
Reese Achey and who was his partner, the other one? Sar?
The French guy.
Star.
Donnie.
There we go. Yep.
Really?
Off the top of my head.
Gold
love that.
Star for you, my friend. Yeah. You get an award for that. Zachary Reese-Achey for the Atlanta Hawks. Alex Sar for the Washington Wizards. Defensive player of the year, JY, entering the All-Star break. It was going to be Victor Wembanyama by a landslide. But, of course, Wemby out for the remainder of the season. Not going to hit the games qualification for that award. So who wins DPOY that Wemby can't?
Well, this was the one that kind of was bouncing all over the place. But the guy I banked on that I loved is the Great Barrier Reef, and that's Dyson Daniels. He did a great job over to Atlanta. A team, let's be honest, Ben, is not known for any kind of defense whatsoever. This kid has become what is close to a lockdown defender, long, athletic, not defender, but to me, and I said it about since Wemby got hurt, Dyson Daniels, to me, is a defensive player of the year.
How about this one, though? The bomb squad up in Boston, sixth man of the year coming off that bench, able to have unlimited shooting range and unlimited shot potential here. Peyton Pritchard, coach, tell me about that.
Oh, shot caller, shot bowler.
Yes.
Listen, and for a while I was saying that it was DeAndre Hunter, and then DeAndre Hunter got traded to obviously from Atlanta to Cleveland. You can't go against what Peyton Pritchard has done. This team has made more NBA threes in the history of the NBA. This guy's got more threes for anybody off the bench. He's dynamic, he can score, and he just makes that team even more dangerous. Runaway, Peyton Pritchard is the sixth man of the year.
As good friend of the early line and Celtics play-by-play announcer Drew Carter would say, Pritch better have my money. Pritch should have the sixth man of the year award around the association. All right, final two, JY. Most improved player, coach of the year. Who gets the nod?
Most improved is going to be Cade Cunningham. Usually when you look at this, this is usually someone that's going to ascend to the top of the NBA. He's been healthy, and what a job that JB Bickerstaff has done with that. Monty who? Monty what? We don't know who that guy is anymore. Most overrated coach besides Doc Rivers in the NBA history. Lastly, coach here, I'm going to go against the grain here. And I know people like Kenny Atkinson. I love what Kenny's done. You can look at Mark Dagenal. To me, it's Ime Udoka. We talked about it. Number two seed. Team had over 31.5 wins, and he's got that team second in the West. I think coach of the year, Ime Udoka of the Houston Rockets.
It's a good look, JY. Kenny Atkinson, probably the favorite for that award and what he has done this year for the Cavaliers as the one seed in the Eastern Conference. But we love the award ballot. Thank you for being here to set the stage for this weekend in the NBA, the regular season finale. He's doing so many moves. Is the shot clock going to expire?
Yeah. I'm not going to be like Randall.
Right away?
He's in his triple threat.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Donnie Wrightside, you got your wish. A small break from the association before we set the stage for the regular season finale weekend. The action that we have tonight, day off on Saturday, regular season finale Sunday in the NBA. Because right now, we go back to where the azaleas are in full bloom and the sun is starting to shine bright and early on a Friday morning for round number two at Augusta National Golf Club, the 2025 Masters. Round one leader at 7-under par after firing an opening round 65. That is Justin Rose leading after the opening round for the fifth time in his 20 starts at the Masters. Off to a good start today. Two holes down for Rose. A birdie on the par five second. He is now 8-under par in DRS. Despite being that round one leader, he entered round two with the third best price to win a green jacket for the first time in his career. Live odds board right now, Justin Rose with a 4-shot lead, second best price at 6-1. Still about $4 behind, though, our reigning Masters champ in Scottie Scheffler, +210 for Scottie.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to watch today because, again, we're expecting a little bit more wind in the afternoon, which could be a struggle here, dry out those greens even more, which makes it tough, which means if you have a 3-shot lead coming into today and you can keep that end or extend that lead because you have the advantage of getting out earlier and you're playing well versus some of the competition in the afternoon, like a Scottie Scheffler, that is a great player but not getting the advantages that you might have in the morning with less wind and a little bit easier setup to the golf course for yourself. And the fact that Justin Rose, as you said, teed off, was a little bit leaky on his approach shot to the first green, still makes that par, then goes to the par five number two and birdies that hole. Now there's no telling. Like, we're not expecting 7-under again day number two out of Justin Rose in the Masters, but my goodness, if you are going to shoot maybe in the high 60s and certainly under par for the day off of a minus seven, that's impressive. And understand this too. Last time we saw Justin Rose yesterday, it was with a bogey on 18. So the fact that you can have a par, then a birdie to sort of wipe that away, that's fantastic stuff.
44 years old for Justin Rose. Of course, he has won major championships before, a victory at Marion in the U.S. Open, I believe, in 2012, if I am not mistaken. And, of course, being atop the leaderboard after Thursday at Augusta is common stance in his career. His fifth time leading after round number one, that a new Masters record, moving past Jack, that being Jack Nicklaus, who had led four times alongside Rose for the most ever. Now Rose holds that distinction by himself. But he has never won a green jacket. He has never led wire to wire. He finished T2 in 2015, lost in a playoff to Sergio Garcia back in 2017. Last year, he missed the cut at Augusta, but he had two top 10 finishes elsewhere in the majors. A sixth finish at the PGA Championship, finished T2 at the Open Championship as well. Now golf's final major to end out the calendar. Scottie Scheffler, 4-under par, a bogey-free 68 in his opening round, trying to do something we haven't seen since Tiger Woods back in the early 2000s, win two consecutive Masters and green jackets, trying to do something we haven't seen since Jack Nicklaus back in the mid-60s, 63, 65, 66. That's win three green jackets in a four-year span. And Donnie, despite trailing Justin Rose now by 4 shots, despite trailing Rose by 3 at the end of Thursday, Scottie Scheffler remains an incredibly short favorite. 2-1 entering Friday, live right now at +210. But Scotty does tee off at 1:23 p.m. Eastern time in the Friday afternoon window. Winds expected to be around 12 to 14 miles per hour sustained. The afternoon charge later today on this Friday at Augusta on cut day expected to get the more difficult conditions than the guys on the course right now in the morning hours.
Certainly makes a big difference at that point, but also understand this, like Justin Rose, you know, an aging veteran per se on the PGA Tour, trying to make a run out of it. Yes, the expectations are he's probably going to have a decent finish to the tournament, but then again, you take a look at Scottie Scheffler, 4-under, expectations today, I don't care what the wind is, another 4-under. Expectations on Saturday, another 4-under, because that's how great a golfer he is, where maybe Justin Rose goes, all right, I went 7-under, and then I shot +1 on a Friday, and the field came back to me at that point. So it's nice to see Justin Rose get out to the first two holes here at a -1. But I don't care what the temperatures and what the expectations of the winds would be. Scottie Scheffler, I expect him to be under par today and certainly in contention once we hit late Saturday afternoon.
They were thinking there would be about a couple of inches of rain overnight, maybe early into this Friday morning at Augusta. Didn't really get that, DRS. The sun is out right now. A chilly start, but the sweaters are starting to come off for the guys. It's really expected to be a pretty ideal day. But as the wind blows, not only does that cause some confusion around Augusta National, those swirling gusts, it also dries out the fairways and, more importantly, the greens with all the undulation and the curves that can be quite difficult to try to shoot under par at Augusta National. That is still the expectation, though, for Scottie Scheffler. His round two over-under, 70.5. The under has the juice. That's meaning 70 or better. That would be two under or better for Scottie Scheffler. Last year, when he won his second green jacket, a bogey-free 66, six under par in the opening round, really on pace with that. How about the rest of the leaderboard? Ludvig Åberg, who has taken the golf world by storm in his first few years as a professional. Last year, a runner-up finish in his debut at Augusta. This year, four under par in the opening round and a really well-played final nine in that grouping with Rory McIlroy and Akshay Bhatia, who was also great down the stretch. Three birdies to close for Bhatia as well. It was only really Rory McIlroy, DRS, that struggled to end things out yesterday in that grouping for them. Rory, four under through his opening 14 holes, looking really in command, really in control. Four over in his final four, including doubles on 15 and 17.
Yeah, just brutal chip shots here. And if you would have told me Rory McIlroy was pulling up to hole number 15, which is a par 5 at 4 under, the expectations to finish that round would have been 5 under or even more with how well he was playing. No. And sometimes it's like, hey, I'm going to get in trouble and just duck hook a drive into the trees. That wasn't the case here. His short game really betrayed him yesterday and cost him in the biggest moments. And understand this, as I talked about Justin Rose, the chance to have a double bogey on 18, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm just going to make sure that I handle myself with a bogey here and get into this score sheet and sign my card today. When Rory McIlroy is like, okay, well, knock this into the water. Let me try to get real close. You get fancy with a shot. It goes off the green again. Yeah. He just let it compound here and wasn't able to settle himself down. And also, from a start where he's waiting to win that green jacket, you couldn't have had a better imaginary to have a first round than he was having, because particularly he doesn't typically have those type of rounds here at Augusta, and it looked like he might be at -5 or so under, and he ends up at an even par. That's like missing the cut, it feels like. You're like, I had a chance at everything here on day number one. Now I dug myself a hole for day number two.
Rory McIlroy has not shot in the 60s at Augusta National in the opening round of a Masters since 2018. Seemed well on his way to doing that yesterday, DRS. And when things like that happen, right, not like a bad bogey where he lipped out, but that was it, the only blemish on the scorecard yesterday, when you are four under through 14 and then go four over your final four, which doubles, that narrative starts to creep up once again, that maybe it's not your play, maybe it's not your form, maybe it's not what you perform like off the tee, maybe it's not your approach, or your ball striking, or your putting, or your short game, maybe it's that mental dragon you are unable to slay, which we have seen time and again, despite what Rory has said. McIlroy's second best price entering the 2025 Masters at +650, $2.5 behind Scotty, a 12-1 number now, that price nearly doubling. DRS, do you think he can slay that dragon? Do you think Rory McIlroy can respond here in round two to set the stage for a potential historic weekend for McIlroy at Augusta?
No, the demon's got him already. And now I don't care what type of professional golfer you are. He has multiple championships under his belt. It's been a long time since he's won one. But this is the course that you always wanted to win, and you sort of get that meltdown at times. He already had it day number one. I don't know how you go to sleep and wake up like, okay, eight shots, nine shots, maybe 10 shots back by the time I tee off. That ain't happening for you, Rory, this year. Sorry.
70.5, that second round score for Rory. The under, a slight bit of juice. That would be an under par bounce back that he desperately needs. More from Augusta in hour three. More NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a quick update from Augusta National. Justin Rose, an easy par on number three. One under through his opening three holes. Eight under for the tournament. A four-shot advantage at the 2025 Masters. Some really good golf about to happen. Victor Hovland tees off in about 3 minutes. That's my best bet for round number two. Hovland, who fired an opening round 71, to go under 71 and a half today. His round two score, plus 115. Profit boost makes that about plus 136. I'm all in on Hovland finding his game here in the last month. And then at 9:58 a.m. Eastern time, that round two tee time for both Rory McIlroy and Ludvig Åberg and Akshay Bhatia, who was 2 under in his opening round. By the way, Åberg entered Friday at a 6-1 number, second best to win a green jacket, only behind Scottie Scheffler. All right, DRS, let's set the stage for this regular season finale weekend in the NBA. As we have shared numerous times, all 30 NBA clubs in action tonight. That means a full 15-game slate on this Friday evening. Day off for everybody Saturday. And then all 30 clubs in action on regular season finale Sunday, where we are going to get, really in the opening wave, Eastern Conference versus Eastern Conference matchup to determine those postseason seeds. Same story in the Western Conference to end out Sunday as well, more so in the afternoon hours. Let's talk about what is at stake in the Western Conference to begin. The Lakers currently the 3 seed, the Nuggets, the 4, slightly in front of the Clippers, despite having the same record at 48-32. The Warriors, 47-33. The Grizzlies, 47-33. The Timberwolves, 47-33. And both the Kings and the Mavericks have already earned a play-in tourney spot. They will be the 9-10 matchup, just a matter of who hosts that 9-10 game. More than likely, it will be Sacramento. The Kings have a game advantage. So let's start, DRS, with what we have to figure out in the jumbled 3-6. Who is going to avoid a play-in tourney spot? Who is going to be a playoff team from the very start? Again, a reminder, Oklahoma City and Houston have already clinched their playoff seeds. OKC the 1, Houston the 2 out west. The Lakers tonight will host the Houston Rockets before visiting the Portland Trail Blazers to end out the regular season. The Nuggets have the Grizzlies and the Rockets. They travel to Houston. The Rockets probably going to be resting over these final 3 days, I should say. The Clippers visit their Northern California foes in the Kings and the Warriors, both teams still with a ton at stake. The Warriors visit the Trail Blazers tonight before hosting the Clippers on Sunday. That's going to be a huge game, the Dubs and the Clips on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, a lot of them. I look at the first two teams listed, the Lakers, Nuggets. I expect sweeps out of both of them. Houston doesn't matter, doesn't care. Maybe it's Los Angeles. Right. They might get excited. Lakers win that game. They need that game. Same thing with Portland if they need that game on Sunday. But also changes where we're talking about Friday, Sunday. Some of these games might not mean anything on Sunday, and that could drastically change. But we're just anticipating that these teams will still be in the market, let's just say, for seeding purposes, and nothing can change at this point. Nuggets, again, I expect Memphis and Houston. The Clippers are interesting. They'll beat Sacramento tonight because, again, Sacramento's already has it wrapped up. There's no reason for them to expend any more energy and get any injuries because they're going to have a quicker turnaround time playing in the play-in than, let's just say, the Clippers would have at that point. So that's my expectations on the first 3. Warriors, they'll beat Portland, and then who knows if the Clippers need that game Sunday. Same exact thing. But I think it's pretty paint by numbers on what's going to happen this weekend.
Yeah, the Kings do need tonight technically as they are trying to still play for home court advantage in that 9-10 game. The Kings would not be a favorite even at full strength with everything on the line against the Clips, as we are seeing L.A. a 6.5-point favorite. And the Clippers have been playing some sensational basketball down this home stretch. DRS, as it gets really interesting, though, to your point about the Lakers, they're a 10.5-point home favorite tonight against Houston. We do not expect the Rockets to be at full strength. The Nuggets, a 7-point home favorite tonight against Memphis. The difficult thing for both the Grizz and the T-Wolves, they played last night. They are on the second leg of a back-to-back in a change of destination. Minnesota returns home. They get to host the Nets. Cool. The Grizzlies have to now go on the road to take on the Nuggets and how well the Nuggets perform. They won their first game without Michael Malone by 8 a couple of nights ago. They're a 7-point favorite tonight against those Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think they win tonight. And also, again, it's not that Memphis doesn't need the game. It's just I don't like what I see of Memphis down the stretch, back-to-back performances here. Now you're going to take a look at them playing at elevation. The Nuggets are rested. Another extra couple days to get used to a new coaching change here, a new general manager change in the organization, and maybe you can still ride off those vibes being high. But it's a lot different than saying who's going to win and who's going to cover, because some of these lines are completely out of whack. Like, yeah, Lakers should easily beat Houston. Well, yeah, they might beat them, but they don't care if they win by 1 or 2 points as long as they get the victory, as opposed to covering the spreads that they have. So those things will change. But for me, I think the Clippers should have an easy time with Memphis tonight. I really do.
Well, it's going to be the Nuggets and the Grizzlies tonight. Memphis did have their 3-game win streak snapped by Minnesota last night. The Grizz are an underdog, right? 7-point dog at altitude against Denver. The Grizzlies have not covered in any of their 9 games booked as an underdog since the All-Star break. Two teams that are now playing with interim head coaches. Denver did snap their own 4-game slide against the Kings on Tuesday with a win as a 4.5-point favorite, even covering that number. The Clippers DRS have been playing some great, great basketball, but they do have 2 road games in Northern California to end. 6.5-point favorite tonight against the Kings. I assume you expect LA to win that game. How about Golden State? They're on the road tonight against a really good Portland team in terms of covering numbers, and the Blazers are getting 14. Golden State was a 17.5-point favorite on Tuesday. They lost at the buzzer against former teammate Harrison Barnes in the San Antonio Spurs, a game the Dubs could ill afford to lose. They did cough up as a hefty favorite. They're a 14-point favorite tonight in the Rose City.
Yeah, they should win pretty easy in that game. Again, Portland just wrapping up the season. Don't get, you know, the young guys injured here. Head to the ping pong balls and start to get after it. So when you have a team that needs to win a game, that it's a veteran-related team and playing good basketball over the past month, month and a half after the trade deadline, that should be a victory. But again, you still got to cover 14. It's not we're asking you, hey, plus money number on Golden State to win this game. Which way are you going? So that's where the tough part comes in.
The Clippers have won 6 straight. They covered in their most recent. LA started out post All-Star break, dropping 6 of their first 7. They have won 16 of 19 since. The Clippers playing really good basketball, approaching the playoffs. Now the Eastern Conference. What's at stake the final weekend next?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference, what is at stake over these final 3 days and 2 games remaining for all 30 NBA clubs here to end out the regular season finale weekend? 15 teams out in the Eastern Conference, and Donnie, as we have shared, much like the Western Conference, everything locked up in the top 2 spots. Cleveland, the 1 seed, the reigning NBA champs, Boston, will be the 2 seed. What is unlike the Western Conference, so much at stake everywhere else, 3 through 8, here in the Eastern Conference, it's pretty set in stone. All the play-in tourney teams firmly in their spot. We might have to figure out who has home floor advantage for a couple of the games, at least in that 9-10 matchup. And technically, we could see the Bulls elevate to the 8 seed and the Hawks fall to that 9-10 game. We'll talk about that in just a moment. The Knicks and the Pacers will host the opening round of the postseason, but will the Knicks be the 3 seed? Or will that be Indiana? We start with the Knicks. 7.5-point home favorite tonight, DRS, against the Cleveland Cavaliers before they end across town and across the East River in Brooklyn against the Nets. The Pacers at home hosting Orlando tonight. Second leg of a back-to-back. They visit Cleveland to end out the regular season. The Pacers know better than anybody. The Cavs not really trying down the home stretch, resting their stars, and yet Cleveland nearly won last night outright as a 9.5-point dog against Indiana as the Pacers were trying to lock up a top 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks have won 6 in a row. They visit Detroit tonight. That's a really compelling matchup. In fact, Milwaukee and Detroit, their final 2 games over these next 3 days against one another.
I'll tell you what the interesting one, though, is the Knicks and the Cleveland game. The reason I bring that up is you look at the back-to-backs. Like, Cleveland didn't really play anybody yesterday. Are they just going to run their backups again on a back-to-back and just go out there? Yeah. Because you don't want to rest your players too long. Because understand this, like, Cleveland's not in the play-in round games. So your starter's just going to be iced for 8 to 9 days, possibly, I guess, before you get after it and have your own playoff round. So if I'm looking and saying, you know what, outside-the-box thinking, am I wrong for thinking that the majority of the starters play tonight for the Cleveland because you have to play, it's a good tune-up, and you can't sit your players all that long, and the Knicks also coming off of a back-to-back at the same time? I really like Cleveland tonight, to be honest. I'm just playing devil's advocate on what I think that starting lineup is going to be.
Listen, even if it is DeAndre Hunter and Ty Jerome, they might have a chance tonight. The Cavaliers 5-1 against the spread as an underdog. Yeah, second leg of a road back-to-back for Cleveland. We shall see, though, Donnie. And there's also a thought, at least as our coach J.Y. presented, the New York Knicks might not want that 3 seed. They might not want to play the Pistons in the opening round. It might not want to visit the Boston Celtics in round number 2. The Knicks have a game advantage over the Pacers. I agree. I still think the Knicks are going to be the 3 seed, at least in my estimation. And New York is a 7-point home favorite tonight. Monitor that number. The Knicks on the second leg of a back-to-back, changing destination. Now, Tom Thibodeau, not exactly the head coach you expect to take advice from load management or rest players. Just throwing it out there, DRS.
By the way, like, understand this. If I'm James Dolan, I walk into a room and say, hey, by the way, we want to avoid the Pistons. I go, last time I checked, like, the Pistons aren't the best team in the NBA. That's what we're trying to do here. So if the Knicks' biggest issue is the Pistons at the 6th seed, just go home early for the playoffs, give everybody the rest, and don't get injured and have a good offseason at this point right now. So that's an interesting one nonetheless. But if we are looking at some of the other options, per se, this weekend, you know what the good options are? Sixers getting blasted in back-to-back games because other teams need that there. So send them off in style to the ping pong balls, baby.
And DRS, when you look at Milwaukee and Detroit, the Bucks, the 5 seed, the Pistons, the 6 seed. Could Detroit catch Milwaukee in the standings? Yes, but they would split then their 4-game season series between the two. The Pistons trail by 2 games right now. Detroit, a home favorite tonight in the Motor City against Milwaukee. Both teams in action on Thursday night as well. Here's how the play-in tourney looks, just so you know. Orlando is 1-4 in a row, 2-game advantage over the Hawks. They visit the Pacers and the Hawks for a game that will determine home floor advantage, potentially in the 7-8 matchup. The Bulls on a heater. They get the Wizards and the Sixers. They are going to be strong favorites in both of those games. Chicago only trails Atlanta by a game. They have a game advantage over the Heat. We're just trying to figure out a couple of the play-in tourney seeding, DRS, 8 through 10.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens in that. And again, they're just food for fodder for the teams that they're going to play. 4 bad teams are getting to the playoffs. So the NBA, who in the Western Conference, like, hey, you know what? This extra playing round makes sense. You know what? Make me commissioner again. No playing rounds ever for the Eastern Conference because those teams are an abomination.
I do kind of think, and I don't know if these odds will come out hopefully by the end of the regular season, I think the Bulls are going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to earn the 8 seed in some form or fashion. But we'll talk about that next week. Hour number 3 is here next with a massive update to start the hour.